Welcome to the Capital News. I'm your host, Alex Kritis. Today is Tuesday, August 25th, 2020. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, Republican National Convention Day Number 2. Before we get into tonight's theme, tonight's production, I want to highlight a couple other stories, some things that I wanted to talk about yesterday, but we just simply covered the Republican National Convention. But I want to make sure that I cover them here today. First, we have news out from American Airlines continuing to warn that thousands of layoffs are simply waiting in the wings because their federal bailout, it is going to expire at the end of September. And if the economy is not roaring back, which of course it's not going to be, unfortunately, and if further assistance is not received, then thousands of employees are going to be laid off. This is no surprise to this audience, at least it better not be, because we've been discussing this for months. This is a prime example within this industry, the airline industry, where they wrecked, they spoiled their benefits of good cash flows, of good revenues, of good profits. They squandered them. Easy money for financial engineering purposes to buy back their shares so that they could manipulate. It's financially engineering. That's what this is. So that they could show the markets, look, our earnings per share are that much higher. Of course they are. You just took stock out of circulation, if you will. It's basic math. Your earnings are going to look better. And of course, when you have executive compensation tied to share price performance, well, these are easy dots to connect. And then you have the excuse from the administration, from Congress, from politicians, from these executives that squandered their resources. Well, it wasn't our fault. It wasn't their fault. Well, the pandemic might not have been their fault. That's a true statement. But squandering their resources, oh yeah, that was their fault. There's no one else to blame but them. Those were their decisions. So instead of having millions of dollars, perhaps even billions of dollars on the balance sheet, in reserve, if you will, for a rainy day, for a business hiccup, there was nothing. And in fact, there was debt and lots of it. And who has to come to the rescue to bail them out? But of course, it's the government, which means you and me. That's our money. And now, because of the mismanagement of this pandemic, because of the mismanagement of the economic response, and despite this industry receiving bailout assistance, it's not enough. That's a theme of this system, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you're picking up on it. It's never enough. So when the end of September rolls around, and that's only a month away already, American Airlines, and I imagine others, because we have already been forewarned that if the industry was not flying to new heights, back to quote-unquote normal, massive rounds of layoffs are going to ensue. That ain't going to be a pretty picture, especially a month before a presidential election. And that's why the administration and politicians on both sides want to do what they can, because neither side wants to be blamed for the mishandling and the mismanagement of our economy. Whether it has to do with the pandemic or not, there was always mismanagement and a mishandling of this economy. There was nepotism, there was fraud, there was abuse, there was corruption. Again, something I want this audience to remember when it comes to these three-ring circuses. We saw the Democrats in town last week, we got the Republicans this week. Keep your eye on the ball. And as I stated last Monday, the first night of the Democrat circus, I said stay focused on the big issues because neither side is going to discuss them. Well, we have the Democrat circus. That tent is closed down. They're done. They left town now. They didn't talk about the main issues. Did they talk about things that are going on? Of course they did. But did they talk about how they are going to handle the structural issues facing this country? No. The Republicans haven't even touched it. 2 days in. They got two more days to go. If I'm a betting man, I bet they are not going to address those issues. They might say they want to cut taxes, but are they going to cut spending? No, they're not. Are they going to address the out-of-control Federal Reserve? Of course not. That's their bailout buddy. That's their bank. That's their Banana Republic printing press. They're not going to smack them down. They're not even going to mention them, unless it's to praise them. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. The issues that we are facing are multiple. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is a social decline. This is a political decline. This is an economic decline. And what I am so far observing from the Republican side of things is we're just not even going to really mention what's going on right now. We're just going to focus on those good-looking headline numbers that we saw before the pandemic took hold. So stay focused on the big issues. So that's American Airlines. Others will be following. And don't forget about the evictions. Don't forget about the other moratoriums that will soon enough be lifted. Student loan payments, mortgage payments, rent payments, you name it. This will all come to an end. And where is the economic growth to satisfy all of these payments? Not just current payments, but back payments. Think about it, folks. This is not a difficult equation to solve. No matter what either circus puts up there, again, these are productions. These are productions. The Democrats had a good run. Decent show. The Republicans yesterday, I was not too fond of their performance yesterday. Today, I think they caught their sea legs. Much better. Again, not agreeing with it. I'm just putting on my political analyst hat and saying, okay, this is a production. We know this. We understand this. Who are they trying to reach out to? What's their message? Was it successful? Much more successful, in my opinion, today than it was yesterday. We'll get to that. Something else I wanted to discuss yesterday was talks circulating in the media once again about U.S.-China Phase 1 trade talks. Somebody just shoot me. Seriously? I mean, they're going back into their old bag of tricks to get the markets up? I mean, I guess they're going to have to. It's the Republican National Convention. We can't have these markets selling off if we're going to tout markets making new all-time highs. We can't have it going down, so we're just going to pull out all of the BS headlines that worked for the past 2 or 3 years. And just in case the U.S.-China Phase 1 BS deal headlined wasn't going to do it, we're also going to have the FDA come out and make a statement that there are some therapies that are looking very, very promising and are going to get clearance. Of course, the FDA administrator had to come out and backpedal and say, well, I overstated what I had stated previously. Well, what a surprise. What a surprise. This is par for the course with this administration. It is right in front of everybody's face. I want therapies. I want a cure for this thing. But I don't want it done at Operation Warp Speed. I'm not going to trust it. And I don't want these overpromises and these huge statements. It is extremely irresponsible. And in my opinion, it's done for not necessarily the sole purpose, but I think the main purpose is for market manipulation purposes. No ifs, ands, or buts as far as I'm concerned. And I got a lot of evidence in my corner to back that up. So those two things, headlines, you got to keep moving these markets up. Got to keep juicing it. And now we're going to hear, supposedly this week, from one of the major idiots, Jay Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, because, well, all the central bankers are getting together. Now, typically, they're out there in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, for their annual central banker retreat to figure out how they're all going to screw us. Well, supposedly, the rumor on the street is Chairman Powell is going to be making remarks in relation to, drumroll please, inflation. What do you think he's going to say? I would take a guess that it has to do with how the Federal Reserve is now going to take a new stance on inflation, and it's going to be, we are going to tolerate a higher inflation rate target. And even if it exceeds our inflation target, which right now is set at 2%, which is pretty much the norm for industrialized nations. Again, they're just picking this number out of a hat. It's the boiling of the frog analogy. It's the slow burn. 2%, what's 2%? Nobody pays any attention. You're tipping your waiter 15%, what's 2%? Okay, that's their theory. Now, if you understand compounding interest, in a short period of time, you're screwed. Your purchasing power is completely robbed of you. All right, but that's the game. This is the long game. But he's supposed to come out, Jay Powell, chairman of the Federal Reserve, supposed to come out making statements on inflation. We're going to tolerate higher inflation. What does that tell you, folks? Read between the lines. Higher inflation is coming. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. And if you have been with the Capital News for a long time, this should not surprise you either. 2% target, maybe they move it up. They've already mentioned many, many times before that they are willing to tolerate a symmetrical inflation, meaning, well, inflation's been so low, which of course is a bunch of BS, but through their statistics, government statistics, inflation has been so low, it's been below our 2% target. Well, now we can tolerate higher inflation above our target, and that's symmetrical. You're not going to find this BS in any economics textbook anywhere. They're making this crap up. The game is over. The game is rigged. They know it. They're the ones rigging it. And they are just going to come up with a story to justify the unjustifiable, to justify their antics, which in my opinion is criminal, immoral, unethical, un-American. But they get away with it. And the politicians love it because they don't have to come back to their districts and look you in the eye and say, well, we messed up. This is unsustainable. We got to cut spending. We're going to have to cut benefits. Sorry, we lived beyond our means for too long. We stole too much of your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren's future and prosperity, and we're going to have to pay the price for it. Nope, ain't one of them going to look you in the eye and tell you that truth. Not going to do it. So turn on the Banana Republic printing press. Come out with your statement this week, Mr. Powell, and say how you are going to tolerate higher inflation, that you, in conjunction with the rest of the members of the Federal Reserve, are not even thinking about raising interest rates. So grab on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen, and read between the lines. They are telling you what is coming. And if you've been with me, as I've stated, this is no surprise. This is not a shock. And hopefully you're prepared for it. Take a look at gold and silver for the long haul. So those are the things I wanted to talk about. Bailouts coming to an end. Look at those layoffs. No surprise. US-China, FDA, BS headlines. Get the markets up. That's all it is. And, of course, the Federal Reserve will be back in town, back in business. Now on to the Republican National Convention date number 2. Obviously, a lot of speakers were also present during today's production. I do want to mention, though, that I do think the video production, the intros that we have seen yesterday and today, very well done. Very, very well done for the purpose of amusing the audience, pulling on those heartstrings, getting you to feel how they want you to feel. As I have been stating, they want you to cry, you're going to cry. They want you to laugh, you're going to laugh. They want you to feel inspired, you're going to feel inspired. Okay? They're going to show you images. They're going to play the right music, the right voiceover. They know how to do it. This is not their first rodeo. But the RNC, in my opinion, is doing a pretty damn good job when it comes to those video productions. Now, when it comes to the individual speakers, of course, that's on the speaker, their presentation, their form. Kimberly Guilfoyle yesterday, I don't know what she was on, crack, cocaine, I have no idea. She was on something. That was a little too much, maybe a lot too much, but that's in the books. Today, we got Eric Trump. We had Tiffany Trump, First Lady Melania Trump, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow, Mike Pence. While he did not give a speak, he did have a little cameo, little video vignette, if you will, which I thought was effective. I mean, Mike Pence is Midwestern. He's apple pie, down to earth. That's his image. They played to it. Pretty effective, I thought. Had the Iowa governor, I think, I'm not going to really mention anything that she stated, but I think, and I'm just putting this on the record now, this is just a guess, an educated guess. I think this woman, the governor from Iowa, has aspirations for a higher office, let's say the presidency. So we'll see if she makes a go for this in a few years. Mike Pompeo, I'm not even really going to highlight his speech either. But I do want to mention him because two things. One, he's expected to throw his hat into the ring in 2024 to become the president of the United States. But secondarily, and you're going to see this or hear this quite a bit, mainly on CNN and MSNBC, but that Secretary of State Mike Pompeo should not have made this speech, especially because he did make the speech also in Jerusalem, in the old city. Jerusalem was in the backdrop. They're going to say this was a violation of the Hatch Act. He's serving in an official capacity. He can't do this. He's breaking precedent. Never should have said it. Yeah, They're going to complain about everything. What's done is done. We got bigger fish to fry. Okay? It's done now. It's in the books. You're going to go after him, you're going to sue him, you're going to impeach him, what are you going to do? Not that that's justification if he is in violation of the Hatch Act, but I mean, we got bigger fish to fry, but this is just to stir up more noise, more chaos, get the ratings up, point the finger at the Trump administration. They don't care about the Constitution, yada, 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 you know the same song and dance. If that's an issue with you, it's an issue with you, but what are they going to do? And I don't like saying that, but we got bigger fish to fry. Larry Kudlow was, of course, Larry Kudlow in true form, true fashion. Everything's fine, folks. Don't have to pay attention to the pandemic. Don't have to pay attention to 170,000 Americans who have died over the past several months due to this virus. Even if the number's inflated, which it very well probably is, still significant. 5 going on 6 million Americans that have had it. We're just going to bounce right back. It's going to be a V-shaped recovery. The stock market's at all-time highs. There's nothing to worry about. Pay no attention to company after company announcing layoffs, especially if there's not some other form of government aid, if the Federal Reserve can't do something. I mean, come on. Come on. This is common sense. But, you know, this is a production. They want to be optimistic. That's what they're going to say. This is what Larry Kudlow does on a daily basis anyway. I think, personally, it's a huge disservice to the country. Do I like the optimism? Yes, I do. But is it realistic? No, it's not. And that's the problem. That's what's lacking. There is no leadership. And a quality, at least something that I look for in a leader, is honesty. That's not everything, but that's an important one. Honesty is in short supply the world over, which is why we have seen and continue to see global protests turning into global riots, turning into military coups, turning into civil wars. Like I had said, it was going to happen. It's here. It's only going to get worse. The Republicans this week are attempting to convince you that if the Democrats win, it's going to get even worse. And of course, the Democrats last week said, it's already bad. You need to elect us to fix it. Such a game, such back and forth. They're both responsible. There are no solutions to this with these people in there because they are the ones who caused it. To expect them to come up with the solutions, to me, is ridiculous. Just another form of insanity. But this is the circus. This is what people still believe. They think it really makes a difference. I don't think it makes a difference. We're basically at the point of no return. The math is what the math is. The economics is what the economics is. This is not going to be reversed anytime soon. And this is a global phenomenon. This is a global issue. Even if we were somehow able to pull ourselves out of this, the rest of the world is not going to be able to do so. I don't think we're going to do so. Not to sound pessimistic, that's just the math, that's just the numbers. I also think, and this is probably not a popular opinion, but that's what has to happen. This system is unsustainable. This is a corrupt, fraudulent system to its core. It should collapse so we can build it back, so we can rebuild, so we can restore this country to our founding principles, to our true justice system, to the tenets of free market capitalism. And in order for that to happen, unfortunately, there's going to have to be some failure on a large, colossal scale. Because nobody wants to be proactive. Nobody wants to step up to the plate and say uncomfortable truths. Just kick the can down the road, turn the printing press on, print the Banana Republic notes, and let's just keep grooving until we fly off the cliff. Well, that's where we're headed, unfortunately. And tax cuts ain't enough. Deregulation ain't enough. Sorry, folks, it's just not enough. And again, I want to give President Trump credit where credit's due. A lot of the topics that I discuss where I give the president credit, it's what the government's supposed to be doing anyway. So it's not bonus points. That's what our tax dollars are supposed to be going towards. Okay? But nevertheless, you're doing your job, you're doing it right, I'll give you credit. And on those things, I give President Trump and his administration credit. But Kudlow, he's in la-la land. He's going to continue to cheerlead despite just no discussion whatsoever, really, of the pandemic, of the evictions, of the massive layoffs, just waiting in the wings. I just don't get it. Tiffany Trump, daughter of Donald Trump, obviously. I was looking for her to maybe give a little bit more of an impassioned speech, highlighting some of the human qualities of Donald Trump and their relationship. Didn't happen. She missed the boat. So it was pretty much, very much like Donald Jr.'s Trump, Donald Jr.'s speech the night before, just a campaign stump speech. It's effective to its purpose, to its audience. She delivered it well, but there was really nothing emotional. And I was expecting that perhaps from her. Eric Trump, on the other hand, he also gave a stump speech, but at least at the end, he did call out his father. He did say that he misses working with his father side by side for the Trump organization. He did say that he's proud of what his father is doing. He said that he loves his dad. That's a good thing. But you would think that there would have been a little bit more of that from Don Jr., from Tiffany, and even from Eric. Now, coming from Eric, I'm not surprised. This is just my observation, my opinion of him and of the Trump family, of his adult children. Eric does seem to be the one that has a little bit more of a softness to him, maybe a little bit more empathetic compared to the other ones. Now, of course, I do believe Ivanka Trump is going to introduce Donald Trump, as she did in 2016. So perhaps she is going to be a little bit more emotional, have a little bit more of that connection, father-daughter. type of connection. She might amend her speech after she sees some of the criticisms or that lack of humanizing the president. I don't know what she's going to do, but we're going to find out in a couple days' time. Now, I think the highlight of this evening was the First Lady, Melania Trump. Her speech was the right tone. She delivered it well. Well written. Of course, there's a little bit of a controversy back in 2016 that she plagiarized, or her speechwriter plagiarized, some of the comments made from Michelle Obama during the previous administration and that convention. So this one, she wrote it. I'm sure she had a little bit of help, but there were reports out there that they did not even put this speech through the West Wing. This was her speech. She wanted to deliver it. She wanted to write it, and this was the result. So her tone was very different than what we heard yesterday and what we heard from everybody else this evening. Hers was a tone of calm. Hers was a tone and a message of unity. She was highlighting and reminiscing about her tenure as the First Lady, her trips abroad, how many people she has met here in this country and around the world with emotional stories that have touched her personally, that have changed her, that have made her reflect and has given her different perspective. That's the type of tone that I think the president and his campaign need to introduce into his campaign and really in his administration. Now, of course, unfortunately for the First Lady, there's a lot of irony within her speech because she wanted to call out social media and bullying. And then you have her husband, Thunder Thumb, sitting right in front of her, who takes to social media to bully or intimidate or go after people. So there's irony there. And of course, we've had this discussion before as well, because there were other times where the First Lady made, you know, similar tone-deaf comments about that. Cyberbullying and then calling somebody else out, but completely ignoring her husband. Which, of course, you know, that too somewhat makes sense that your husband, you're not going to attack him, but it's still the irony, it's still the hypocrisy. That's an issue. But a lot of credit to the First Lady. She called attention to mothers and parents out there. Pay attention to social media. Pay attention to what your children are doing on social media. 24/7 news cycle, new fads. It's very difficult to keep track of what's going on out there. And we know, because the founders of these social media companies, the executives within a lot of these social media companies, they admit they don't even have their children on these platforms because they know how devastating it can be to a developing brain. Okay? They understand it. The executives and the founders of these platforms. This is an issue. And social media is too new to really have any long-term study. But what they already know is that it's not good for the developing brain, for young children, for teenagers, even for college students. Because we know through the studies that have been conducted, depending on the platform, it's a differing degree of depression. But there's depression across the board. I do believe the worst one when it comes to depression is Instagram. And the reason is because Instagram is all about pictures. And if people are going to take pictures of when everything looks great, when they're on vacation, when they're in the mountains, when they're out in nature, when they're on a boat, when they're at a fancy restaurant, when they're having fun at a concert, what have you. And people scroll through all of this and they see all these people having fun and you're sitting wherever you are going through all of these pictures, getting depressed. This is dangerous stuff. It really is. So I commend the First Lady on calling this out. She called out the opioid crisis. I don't know what the Trump campaign's going to do with her message. I hope they adopt it. Might be a little too late, but it's what's needed. Not to divide, but to unite. And that, in and of itself, is even in stark contrast to what the other presenters did this evening. It was a lot of Democrat bashing, socialist bashing, fear-mongering, having another speaker, I think the lieutenant governor of Florida up there, a Hispanic woman, Cuban-American, again, back-to-back nights, talking about communism in Cuba. You get the theme, you get the pattern, you get the fear-mongering. And again, that's part of the production. That could prove to be very successful. You have to understand your audience. What it also tells us is where the Trump administration and the Trump campaign see their weaknesses. If they have to put on Cuban Americans on back-to-back nights, is that sending a signal that they're concerned about losing that vote? That they really want to make sure that they solidify that vote? Because they know perfectly well Florida is a toss-up state. It's a battleground state. It usually is. And this is going to be a close race. Unless, of course, something breaks loose, then it could be a runaway. But time will tell. We'll provide some more analysis as we get there. We'll do more of the Electoral College analysis as we get closer to November and break down some of those numbers. Also during the Republican National Convention this evening, which is also showing the Trump campaign's hand as to where they think there are weaknesses, and this should be no surprise to anybody, there was a naturalization process that took place. About 5 new American citizens, so congratulations to them, our fellow Americans. Now, if you are a Trump supporter, this was fantastic television for you. You absolutely loved it. See? He's not a racist. He loves immigrants. He just doesn't like illegal immigration. He's more than happy to have immigrants in this country. And look how happy he is to greet them and to be there for this ceremony. If you despise Donald Trump, you're going to say this is just a political ploy. Plain and simple. He does not give a damn about these people. These people are from countries that the president referred to as S-hole countries. Yet here he is. How convenient, during the Republican National Convention, he's there for this process of these people becoming American citizens. Huh. See how this goes back and forth? All depends on what you want to see, what you want to hear, what you want to believe. That's why it's a circus, ladies and gentlemen. They're showing you what you want to see. If you don't like him, you're not going to vote for him anyway. That's not who he's going after. They are going after the base because they want to solidify that support. Give them an example. See, he had people there. Didn't you see him? I mean, they're there. He cares about immigrants. He was there. Didn't you see it? It's not made up. It was there. That's going to be people's arguments that love and support Donald Trump. Make no mistake about it. He did it. What don't you understand? We told you for 3-4 years he wasn't a racist. He likes immigration. He just doesn't want it to be illegal. There's a prime example right there. What don't you understand? See how smart that is? For the president to do that, because now he just solidified his base. Just a little bit. There's an example. The people who already despise him, they weren't going to vote for him anyway. So basically, screw those people is the thinking. Now it's a question of, did that convince independents? Did that convince Republicans who might be on the fence to come back? Did that convince any Democrats who were on the fence to say, you know what, that, you know, that's all been over exaggerated. He does care about these people. Did they buy it, or did they say this is just a political stunt? That's the question. That's the question, because he also pardoned somebody this evening as well. Okay, so the president is a reality TV star. He knows production. He knows content value. He knows what he's doing. Okay? He knows how to market. He knows how to sell. The steak might not taste good, but he knows how to sell the sizzle. And that might just be enough to get him over the finish line. We'll see. But to close today's podcast, Melania Trump hit all of the points. Right tone, right message. There is irony, there's some hypocrisy in it, but nonetheless, I think the Trump campaign would be wise to use her and to use that tone from here on out to attract people to a message of unity, to get those independents, to get those people on the fence that are saying before, you know, it's just the president can't rise to the occasion. He could say these things. He could speak with that type of tone, but he doesn't. Now, again, political analyst hat, would that be enough to get him over the finish line? Would people believe it if he was to suddenly change his tone and sort of copy that of Melania? I don't think he's going to do that, but I think it would be wise of him to do so. So that's day two. Most definitely better than day one. We'll see what the next 2 days bring us. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.